All right, we're about ready to get to work here. Are you ready today? Yes. All right, do you love your pastor? Yes. Yeah, people had to think about that one, right? Yes. All right, like, uh-oh. Uh-oh, I see some faces saying, I don't really know. Well, you know, we've started this series on questions for me to answer. Questions that were posed in a box and given to me. And our very first question that we looked at, really the foundation for all of these messages, was what? Does anybody remember? Mm-hmm. What are all of my answers based upon? Right, it's all from the Bible. It's all from the Word of God. It's not opinion. It's all from God's Word. Well, today we're going to look at another question, and that question will be answered according to what? God's Word. I'm not going to throw all kinds of other things and thoughts at you. We're going to be looking at a passage that I think directly deals with the question today. Are you ready? The question today on this Valentine weekend is this. What does a biblical marriage look like? So today we're going to look at God's Word and see what a biblical marriage looks like. Some of you are going to be mad at me. I promise you, I'll offend husbands and wives, okay? So at least we'll offend everybody. That's fine. I can live with that. We're going to look at the Bible, though, and we're going to see what the Bible says a biblical husband looks like and what a biblical wife looks like. Are we ready today? Everybody's a little scared, man. Wow, it's okay. It's okay. Have your Bible open as well if you can grab a copy of God's Word. We're going to look through that as we dig into God's plan for us as husbands and as wives today. Amen? Amen. We're going to be looking at primarily Ephesians chapter 5. Turn to there, Ephesians chapter 5. My goal for you is to not come to our church and to not be changed. My goal for you and for myself is that we would live lives that are based upon the Word of God. Isn't that good? Isn't that true? Because here's the deal. If we're not living lives, if we're not functioning in the way that God wants us to function, we're not going to be walking in His blessings, are we? Anybody want to walk in the blessings of the Lord? Can I see a show of hands? Anybody here, out of the men who are married, or you're not married and one day you may be, does anybody want to be a godly husband? I want to be a godly husband. Okay, some of you I'm questioning because I don't see a hand. How about the women? Anybody want to be a godly wife? Can I see a show of hands today? You're like, you know, I want to be what God wants me to be. That's good, because that then, guess what happens? Your marriage is a godly marriage, right? And the fruits of the Spirit, which are love. See, we want the fruits of the Spirit in our lives and in our homes and in our marriage. Here's the list. Ready? Love. I want love in my marriage. Anybody else? Joy. Peace. Anybody want peace? Patience. Goodness. Gentleness. Self-control. Faithfulness. Right? Anybody want a faithful marriage? Yeah? Right? Anybody want a marriage that's characterized by kindness and love? Well, in order to do that, we need to have a biblical marriage. And that's what we're going to look at today. And the kids say in the back, hallelujah, godly parents, praise the Lord. So that's good. Ephesians 5. Before we read into the Word, let's just ask the Lord to bless us today as we get into this. Lord God, I pray for your blessings, Jesus. As we dig into your Word, help us, God, on this Valentine's weekend, Lord, to just see what you want us to be as husbands and wives. We are bombarded constantly by worldly images of husbands and wives. Lord, from the Roseanne show to Homer Simpson to Al Bundy to everything new today, God, we see examples of people who we ought not emulate. But I pray that you would show us as men what we are supposed to be. And for the women, show them what they are supposed to be. And may we all love you and live for you. In humility, we ask for you to help us and teach us today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 15, really. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Just to get the context of what we're talking about here. All right. It says, "Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." You have some blanks here on your sheet if you want to mark these down. Right now we're looking at the context. The next part gets into spirit-guided relationships. But here's the context we need to look at before we move in. These blanks will go quickly. It says, based on Ephesians 5, that's where our outline is. This is in the context of the needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit and being grateful. Your blanks are to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be grateful. This is important because, again, be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, and give thanks to everything to God the Father. Interesting to note, in the other passage in Colossians chapter 3, it also speaks of those same things. The need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the need to be grateful before it gets in to the husbands and wives issue. Do we have that today? So what two things should we be? Filled with the Spirit, right? And to be grateful. Because here's the reason, okay? Sometimes marriage can have its problems. Anybody agree to that? We need to make sure we're grateful for our spouse and grateful for the Lord for bringing him into our lives. And sometimes if we're honest, we need to be grateful for a spouse who will put up with our own garbage, if we could just be real, right? Anybody today, you're grateful for a spouse who puts up with you? I mean, come on, you know. Amen. Kind of quiet today. The other thing is this. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the challenges we're going to look at today are going to be hard to do. Okay? It's going to be difficult, and we need the Spirit of God to help us to do what He's called us to do. Isn't that good? Paul says this both in this Ephesians passage and in the Colossians 3 passage. Today, we're going to look primarily out of the Colossians 5 passage, Ephesians 5. Leave that open. But also, I noted on your sheet Colossians 3 and 1 Peter 3. And this is what I want you to do. When you get home, make sure you read those other passages as well. I'm going to note the differences in Peter's writing and the differences in Paul's writing in Colossians and pull them into our outline for Ephesians. But I want you to check out the other stuff as well, okay? All right, we're going to read this passage in Ephesians 5, verse 21. We're going to read this whole thing, and then we're going to look at our blanks here today and dig into the Word. In light of being filled with the Spirit and being grateful, it says, verse 21, Ephesians 5, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his church, of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. Just as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and His church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Listen, I promise you today I will offend everybody. I already offended myself in preparation, so I'm taken care of. This will be a challenge to you. Before we begin, though, and look at this list, listen, here's the heart of this list. We need to, in gratefulness to God, filled with the Spirit, examine our own lives, okay? I give you this warning before we dig into the text. If you're a man and you say, my wife isn't those things, you're out of line and you're not being biblical, okay? Paul doesn't say, if you are a man and your wife isn't these things, then complain or she's not a good wife. He doesn't say that. He says, as a man, do these things. As a man, be this way, okay? So the text today isn't telling you to complain about your spouse. It's to look at those things that apply to you and apply it to your lives. And trust God that He'll work on your spouse. Amen? Do you see that? For the women today, don't look at this passage and say, but my husband is this, 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 and this. Because that wouldn't be the right way to look at it. Instead, look at the passage for what it says to the women. Apply that to yourself. And we pray and we trust God to take care of our spouse. And we pray for our spouse. Amen? So it's not a way to be mad at the other person because you're not even being biblical to the passage. It's to look at ourselves to become what God wants us to be. And we trust God for the other person in humility. Amen? Amen. So let's dig into this. I'm going, according to Paul's outline in Ephesians here. So we're starting with the women because Paul starts with the women. Women, don't worry, the men will get theirs, okay? All right. Your first blank on your sheet, and I'm basically outlining this passage today. It's all straight from the Word of God. Under wives, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Your first blank is submit. I like the Amplified translation to bring out subtle qualities, and they use the word as a service to the Lord. As to the Lord, they translate it as a service to the Lord, meaning as worship to God. Okay? As worship to the Lord. Is worship always something that we want to do? If we're talking about worshiping God, do we always feel like worshiping God? Sometimes we don't, right? Anybody have the flu? You still have the flu, Joe? You're almost over it? Right. When you have the flu, do you feel like you have the faith to climb a mountain and jump rivers for God? No, you're beat up. Do you feel like saying, I love you, Jesus? No, you're just tired, man. You have stuff running everywhere. You don't feel good. Sometimes you don't want to worship. Anybody have a bad day? Anybody ever not really feel like thanking God for your job that day? Anybody? Right? Oh, yeah. You don't always feel like worshiping the Lord, but we do it because we're supposed to, right? We do it as an act of service to the Lord. That's why we call it a worship service, right? We serve Jesus. It's something we do. So, women, your first thing here, as a service to the Lord, submit to your husbands. As a service, something you're doing to the Lord. Do you always want to? Will you always want to? I'm not a woman, okay? But I can imagine that my wife... Don't get mad at me, honey. Okay, she says not yet. I can imagine that my wife doesn't always find it a joy. I'm just saying because I can be less than perfect. I'm not trying to say anything about my wife. I'm trying to say sometimes I can be a pain. Okay, believe it or not. And I think men, if I can imagine, sometimes you can be a pain. But women, God said, even if it's hard, do it as unto the Lord. Right? Amen. Even if you don't feel like it, we do it as unto the Lord. It says here, your next blank, the husband is head of his wife as Christ is the head of his church. There are your blanks, the Christ and church. It says right in the text, the husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the Savior of the church, is he not? right? How does the church submit to Christ? We should submit to Christ in everything, shouldn't we? And in fact, in the passage, it says in everything, Colossians 3:18, the part from Colossians says, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. So wives, the passage says, submit to your husband in everything. Okay? We're going to get to the husband, so let's just hang in there. 1 Peter 3:1, your next blank says, accept the authority of your husbands. Accept the authority of your husbands. You can read that later. That's exactly what Peter says. And here's the other part of what of the gist of Peter's passage you can read on your own. Even if they aren't godly, your godly life will speak to them without words. In fact, actually, I want to turn to the Peter section just for this part. If you could put your finger in Ephesians, flip open to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right, without fear of what your husbands might do. Your blanks for this section, accept the authority of your husbands. And the next part, even if they aren't godly, your godly life will speak to them without words. Peter's pretty clear here that he says you submit yourself to your husbands even if they aren't godly. Okay? I understand that for some of us women, you've had experience with either a former husband or perhaps your current husband that isn't godly. And your question might be, well, what do I do if he is just completely not a godly person? Peter says you still submit to your husband. Interesting, he says without words. Your godly life will speak to them without any words. I'm going to read this little paragraph that I got from the Life Application Study Bible, but I think it's really good. It says, when a man becomes a Christian, he usually brings his whole family into the church with him, like the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. But by contrast, a woman who became a Christian usually came to the church alone. Under Roman law, the husband and father had absolute authority over all the members of his household, including his wife. Demanding her rights as a free woman in Christ would endanger her marriage if her husband disapproved. This is in the context in this time. The husband had all legal rights to everything. If the woman came and said, I'm free in Christ, I'm no longer bound to you, that would have really, really endangered their marriage. Peter reassured Christian women this. He said, if you were married to unbelievers, you don't have to preach to your husband. Under the circumstances, your best approach would be to live a godly life, and you could show your husbands the kind of self-giving love that Christ showed the church. By being an exemplary wife, they would please their husbands. At the very least, the men would allow them to continue to practice Christianity, or at best, they would become a Christian too. That's what Peter is saying here in this context. Women, if your husband isn't godly, continue to preach the gospel by your actions, right? By your lifestyle, by loving them even if they don't deserve it, because your lifestyle will preach volumes to your husband. And he will come to know the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 7, which we're going to look at next week, it says clearly divorce is not an option. That we are not, as Christians, we don't become a Christian and divorce our spouse because they're not Christians. You continue to live the life in front of them. This passage with Peter, it says, women, you don't have to preach and yell at your husband all the time. Let them know, but really just serve them as Christ would serve the church. And guess what? Either, worst case, Lord willing, they let you keep serving Jesus and you don't have violence and stuff at home. Best case, they will see your service in spite of how terribly they treat you, and they'll come to know the Lord. So Peter relates here. He says, and I think it's kind of a relief that he says without words, because you know what? You don't have to preach at your husband and get in arguments all the time. You can just live for Christ and allow God to speak to him, right? Amen. Isn't that good? In a domestic violence kind of situation, you don't have to stand up and preach to your husband. You just live, and the Holy Spirit does that. So Peter understands what it's like to live with someone who's not godly when he says that. But you know what? We still live for the Lord. Moving on, he says, focus on inward beauty is your next blank. Not on outward beauty, fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, and beautiful clothes. The world focuses on these things. Your next blank, the world focuses on these things. A Christian wife should not look like a desperate housewife on ABC, right? Where you have the latest styles and everything. You know, you got to impress the pool guy when he comes. You know, no. Am I right? No, that's not what a Christian wife should look like. Men, if you're trying to get your wife to look like that, shame on you. Shame on you. As a wife of a Christian husband, you shouldn't push yourself to look like that as a godly woman. You just love God. You love God. You live for Him. The world will tell you that you have no meaning unless you fit this criteria. Don't listen to that lie. Live for Jesus. Live for Him. The devil wants to destroy you. Don't listen to that lie. Live for Christ. I remember when President Obama just a few weeks ago was elected, the inauguration. I mean, you know, they had the big party and all the balls in D.C. And I saw live coverage because my second job is, nighttime, 12 to 8. So I'm at work, and all night long, Obama's hitting all these, it was like 8 different balls, you know. And every time they had reporters talking about what the woman was wearing, her dress was by this designer, you know, her hair was done by so-and-so, and look at the jewels. And it was just like this weird Hollywood thing, and I thought, well, that's not really what's important, is it? Isn't it about the president and where we can go and issues? Leave the woman alone, right? That's not what it's about. Women, that's not what it's about. Seek inward beauty. Your blanks, moving on here. Again, the world focuses on them. Peter says, clothe yourself with beauty from within. Beauty from within. It says, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Here's the amplified version of 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. I just want to read this to you. It says, let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, is the phrase. That's right, like put a big knot in it and there's your hairstyle. Or don't let yourself be just externally adorned with that and wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes. Listen to verse 4. But let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit which is not anxious or wrought up but is very precious in the sight of God. Ladies, if all you have is nice stuff on the outside, but inside your heart is corrupt and nasty, that's a bad thing, isn't it? Would anybody say you know somebody like that who can get dressed up, but inside it's just bad news, right? It says, look how the godly women of old made themselves beautiful. Okay, they honored God, it says in the passage, and they accepted the authority of their husbands Why did they... Well, they honored God and they accepted the authority of their husband. How can you accept the authority of the husband? It's because you accept the authority of the one who gave your husband authority, right? You ever work for a boss and you have like this leadership structure that you have a director or the head CEO, let's say, and he makes somebody else the guy beneath him and somebody else the guy beneath him? Don't you have to accept that authority of that person? What if they're not any good? Doesn't matter because the CEO gave them the job, you understand. If you're in the military and the general gave somebody a job of a sergeant and your sergeant isn't any good, you don't like them, do you still have to accept his authority? You have to because of the general, because of the president of the United States, who's the commander in chief, right? We have to do that. You accept the authority in this case because of the Lord. Moving on, Sarah was able to trust her husband because she trusted the one who called her husband, who is the Lord, to take care of them and to speak to Abraham. She was able to trust her husband because she trusted the one who called her husband, who is the Lord, right? She was able to trust her husband because she trusted the Lord. Now, Abraham, what do you think of Abraham? Was he the best husband ever? Perhaps you're here today as a woman, and you said, but my husband, man, you don't know my husband. It says Sarah trusted Abraham, gave Abraham respect and honor and submitted to his authority, but you don't know my husband. Does anybody remember Abraham? Abraham pimped out Sarah twice. Do you remember that? We looked at that in Bible study on Thursday night. Here's the gist. Abraham was afraid that he was going to get beat up and killed because his wife was beautiful. So he says this, Sarah, don't tell anybody you're my wife. Take off the wedding ring. Pretend you're single and you're my sister. So if they come, they won't, and they want you, they won't kill me. They'll just like, you know, take you and I'll live. What? He did that twice. Okay, imagine this. I'm with Donna. We're driving through a rough neighborhood. We blow a tire. We're stuck on the side of the road. Gang members pull up. I'm like, honey, take off your ring. Take off mine. Don't tell them you're married to me. So that way, if they want you, they can just take you. But I don't get beat up, at least, right? That's what Abraham did two times. Two times. Abraham didn't have a big like symbol on his chest being the best husband ever. I'm just thinking. If your husband's bad, hopefully he's never pimped you out to keep himself from getting beat up. But he actually did it twice. And God had to step in, and both times God intervened. Once was, I believe it was the king of Egypt, and God stepped in, gave him a dream, so he woke up and he was like, woo! And God says, that woman's not yours, that's Abraham's. What do you mean? And then the king goes to Abraham, they kick him out, take your wife. And the wording is this, what in the world would possess you to do such a thing, Abraham? The king is like, dude, man up, right? Doug, what are you doing giving her away because you don't want to get beat up? What in the world? Chased them out, and Abraham did it again later on. And the same kind of thing happened. They kicked them out of the territory because like boils happened on all the people and God cursed them. And they, what? What's all this for? What do you mean that's his wife? He didn't say it was his wife. He said it was his sister. Get your woman and go, Abraham. What in the world's wrong with you, dude? Right? So women, if you're thinking, well, my guy isn't that good, hopefully he hasn't done that. Okay? Hopefully if my wife and I break down driving somewhere, I'm not like, I'm afraid to get beat up. Honey, pretend you don't know me. Right? What's up with that? Okay, so, but you know what? Sarah still submitted herself to Abraham. Because that's what God said to do. Okay? All right, men, are you ready? All right, husbands, you ready? All right, here we go. Now, I'm a man, so we can get through this. This is the word of the Lord. You ready? You ready? See, I'm a man, so we can talk more definitively to the men. Guys, God has called us to a high standard as men, okay? You ready? Men, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough, but you know what? This is what God has called us to. Women, if you're thinking, man, that's tough, it is what you have. But for the men, it's tough too, okay? So hang on. Ephesians 5. Do you have your Bible open, guys? Because I want you to see this comes from the Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Are we there? All right. It says this, husbands, you have to, ready for your blank? Take notes, guys. Love your wives. Love your wives, okay? Now, how should we love our wives? We just had Valentine's Day, okay? Did you give her a chocolate rose or a real rose or something? We're not even talking about Valentine's Day love. If Valentine's Day love is number one on the scale of 1 to 10, we're talking full-blown number 10 insane love that God has called us to. Here's your next blanks. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Woo. As Christ loved the church. Could somebody tell me before we move on, what did Jesus ever do for the church? Right, yeah, he allowed himself to die, okay? Ultimate, ultimate love, right? Do we see that? As Christ loved the church. All right, guys. He gave up his life for her, self-sacrificial. It's self-sacrificial love, right? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Self-sacrificial love. That's big, isn't it? To make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word, without spot or wrinkle or blemish, glorious, holy, and without fault. Without spot or wrinkle, which means this, that your wife is dressed as a beautiful bride spiritually, because as men, listen, men, you take care of your wives and you dress her spiritually as a beautiful princess. Wow. Did you hear that? It said, holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word without spot or wrinkle or blemish, glorious and holy without fault. God has called us as men to take care of our wives and nurture them in the things of God. Did you hear that today? Men, we need to nurture our wives in the things of God. That's the challenge from Paul. Without spot or wrinkle, like perfect in Christ. What does that mean? That means you should love your wife. You should get into the Word with her and speak things encouraging to her. Spend time in prayer with her, right? When your wife needs prayer, you pray. As a man of God, you're not ashamed of prayer. You're not ashamed to take care of things when they need to get done. And realize your own limitations. You can't do everything. You need Christ, right? Your wife should be a better Christian because of you as a man. My wife should be a better Christian because of me as a husband. Do you see the weight of that, right, as men? In other words, God is going to talk to you when we stand before Him and say, is your wife closer to Christ because of you? Do you feel the weight of that? That's big, isn't it? So you're responsible for your wife to some extent by how you lead her in the things of God. By how you encourage her. Now, do I mean preach at your wife and just be nuts? No. I mean that your lifestyle should draw her to God. You understand? We're not saying just words. We're talking everything about you should encourage her in the things of God. Your example, your love. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Love your wives just as you love your own body. This shows you are a real man. A real man. Do you remember the movie we just saw, if you were here, Fireproof? If you missed the movie, I want to encourage you to rent it, buy it, do something and watch it as a couple. Powerful movie. you were here, there's a powerful example of the man who loved himself. And there was something that he wanted for himself. And near the end of the film, we see that he gave it up for his wife. Okay, I don't want to hurt the movie for you because I really want you to see it. But he showed self-sacrificial love. Is anybody, you were here, remember Lou? You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't want to ruin the movie for you. See it, but listen, he loved himself, and then he gave that love to his wife. He gave that thing to his wife. Love your wife just as you love your own body. Is this hard? Right? This is tough. This means that you take yourself off the pedestal and you lift your wife up. This is tough. This shows you're a real man. This shows that you love yourself, the passage said. This shows that you're a guy who's not afraid to elevate others. It says, feed and care for your wife. Feed and care for your wife as you would yourself. And then it says, as Christ does for the church of which we are all members. Feed and care for your wife as you would yourself, as Christ does for the church. Peter said, you need to feed your wife. You need to care for your wife. Men, do you ever get hungry? Like for food and stuff, right? Anybody ever get hungry? Right? I get hungry sometimes. You ever feel like, I need to eat, man, right? Guess what? Your wife feels that way too. You need to take care of your wife and you need to provide food for her. Plus, take care of your wife. It says care for your wife, right? Men, we need to care for our wives. We need to provide for our wives. We need to do that. We need to step up to the plate. Moving on. Give honor to your wives. 1 Peter 3:7 says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat them with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Okay? Give honor to your wives. Honor your wives, it said. Your wife should feel honored, guys, right? And you're like, well, she's honored to be with me because I'm the man. That's not what I mean. I mean, she should genuinely, you should honor her, right? If you are the man, you should pay her honor. Treat her with understanding as you live together, it says. Understanding. Live considerately, the Amplified says. Live considerately. Seek to understand your wife. Live considerately, right? Consider her. Is it easy, men, to understand women? No. Right? It's not at all. Women, is it easy to understand men? You're probably thinking no. Yeah, they're pretty. For men, we don't understand women, okay? To help us out, the Bible says live considerately, seek to understand the other person. So women, I'd like to say this, and I'm sure the men will agree. If possible, try and make it real clear because we're kind of dense, okay? Right? Amen. A second that. Like, real clear because we're just, and it's not that we don't want to understand. We just don't get it, to be honest with you, sometimes. We just don't understand. But men, that doesn't put you off the hook. The Bible doesn't say, women, make yourself clear. The Bible says, men, seek to understand. Right? So the onus is on us, guys. We need to try and listen to our wives and not just hear the words, which, to be honest with you, I hear the words, but I'm trying to learn to hear the heart of what's behind the words. And for me, that's difficult because it's sometimes it's different than the words. Men, seek to get to the heart of your wives. Seek to understand. Colossians 3:19 says, never treat them harshly. Men, if you're treating your wife harshly, stop. Okay? stop. The Bible says clearly, do not treat your wives harshly. Though she may be physically weaker, she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Equal partner, it said. Men, if you can physically beat up your wives, you absolutely are not allowed to do that. Okay? The Bible does not speak of wives submitting to their husbands because the husbands are violent beasts who will make their wives submit. That's disgusting. Submit or I'll make you submit. That's completely ridiculous. The Bible says men do not treat your wives harshly. And that last part, they're your equal partner. Even if they're physically weaker, meaning you can just bench press more, that doesn't matter. It says they're your joint heirs with Christ, right? Women, you're our joint heirs with Christ. Men, your women are partners with you in the work that God has called you to do. We have a different list because as women and men, we have different roles. As dad and mom, we have different roles. But together, we're partners in what God wants to do in our marriage and in our home and with our family. Do not treat your women harshly. If you refuse to obey, it says your prayer life will be hindered. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered, is what Peter says. Your prayer life will be hindered. Wow. Do you hear that, guys? If you want to be a real man of God, if I want to be a real man of God, a big part of that is how I treat my wife. The gist here makes it sound like, well, clearly prayer life will be hindered if I'm not treating my wife right. Either it'll be hindered because I can't pray right, because I'm not in right relationship with God, or hindered because perhaps God's not going to listen to me because I don't have my business taken care of at home. Okay? But either way, I need to watch how I live in order to be right with God. I knew of pastors who treated their wives terrible. Pastors who would be violent at home. Pastors who even treated their kids bad. We're not really talking about parenting tonight. But still, their stuff wasn't right at home. And they wanted God's blessing in their ministry. And guess what? The pastors I'm speaking of are not in the ministry. Things failed and would not work. Because, as Peter says, your prayer life is hindered. Men, you want to be a man of God? Watch how you treat your wife. Clearly in this text. Watch how you live at home. Also, watch how you treat your kids. Watch that, right? I want God to hear my prayers. Any other man here? You're like, you know what? When I pray, I want God to hear me. Watch your business at home. That's a challenge, isn't it? All right, moving on. In closing, again, from the Ephesians outline, it says, marriage is an illustration of Christ and His church. Marriage shows us a picture of Christ and His church. The coming together of man and woman and being joined as one is an illustration of how Christ and the church are one. Okay? So here's the review for men and women. It says, so as a picture of Christ loving the church, each man must love his wife. Each man must love his wife. Here's how. The first one, self-sacrificially. Self-sacrificially. Men, God's called us to take care of our wives, to love them self-sacrificially, unconditionally. Unconditionally. How does Christ love the church? Jesus loves the church so much that if I do something that He deliberately tells me not to do, guess what? Jesus still loves me, doesn't He? Right? What if I don't deserve the love of Jesus? Truth is, I never deserve the love of Jesus. Jesus still loves me unconditionally, doesn't He? Doesn't He love you unconditionally? Isn't that good to know? Men, that's how we are to love our wives. But she doesn't deserve it. It doesn't matter if she deserves it or not. You're commanded to love her unconditionally. Unconditionally. What a powerful picture, men, that God's called us to. You have to be a real man to accomplish this list. Moving on, reverently. We love our wives reverently, with a desire to lead her into the things of God. If you're not into the things of God yourself, men, you cannot lead your wife anywhere. You need to be at a place in order to lead her to a place. You understand? I cannot lead my wife into the things of God if I haven't been to the things of God myself. I need to spend time with God, and I will be judged on how well I lead my wife into the things of God. We have to have a desire to do that. Moving on, providing for her physical needs. We just read the passage. Providing for her physical needs, providing for her emotional needs, right? Considerately, we just read all those words. Providing for her spiritual needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, giving her protection and security. We just read it. Feed and care, right? Protection and security. Giving her consideration and treating her with honor. Wow. Men? Big list, isn't it? As a picture of the church, respect and reverence towards Christ, each wife must respect and reverence her husband. Those words are taken directly from, I think, our version here and from the Amplified version. Women, as we close, these are directly from the Amplified Bible's study notes. And I thought it was good because it kind of gives us a gist of the meaning. It says, Webster's New International Dictionary offers this as a list of English words that have the same or nearly the same essential meaning as respect and reverence. The latter, the word reverence, includes the concept of adore, but not in a sense to deity. In other words, man, you're not God. Women, don't adore your husband like God. That's not the point. But here's the list for respect and reverence, ladies. Again, directly from the Amplified. I copied and pasted it. It says that she notices him. That she notices him. Men need to be noticed. If they do stuff around the house, they kind of need a pat on the back. They kind of need to know that you noticed, even if it's a little thing, because that makes a man feel important. That makes him feel like he accomplished something. Don't be afraid to notice the things. It's just the way we're wired. She regards him, then honors him, prefers him. You prefer your man, your husband, to the men at work. You prefer your husband to the guy cutting cheese at Wawa. Right? You prefer your husband and esteems him. You hold him in esteem. That she defers to him. That she defers to him. Ladies, God has set it up so men would be the head of the household. Okay? But men, that's a high weight, man. You're the image of Christ. You better do your job. But women, what this is saying here, you defer to him, is that if there is a decision, if you have to move somewhere for a job, you come together. But I believe biblically, as we've seen, husbands and wives should talk. Somebody has to be the one to pull the trigger. Somebody has to be the final answer. We just read, men, be considerable to your wives and understand them. So it's not with brutality, but somebody has to be the final one. And the Bible says that's the man, that's the husband. If you're mad at me, I'm sorry, but we preach from the Bible. That's what it says. But if you're the man and you think, I get to have the only say, you're completely out of line. That's not the heart of it. The heart is somebody has to make a decision. So completely with prayer, with reverence, with understanding and consideration for your spouse, and knowing that you will stand before God with this decision, the man is responsible for that, has to make the decision, and again, knowing that he will stand before God. That's a big weight, right? So men, if you're like, I have the ultimate authority, yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. It's a, God will say, what in the world were you doing? I told you to stay. Your wife was right. You were wrong. Explain yourself to me. So women, you defer to your husband, but it's with knowing that God is in control, and pray, Lord, give him wisdom because he needs it, right? And men, we all say, yes, we need the mind of Christ. Praises him, not in like worship, but praises him like, good job, honey. You took out the trash. Way to go. But you know what? Men need that. Women, you ever watch sports enough that every mediocre thing, men high-five each other and smack each other on the butts, and it could be nothing, right? You go out, football players line up, the defensive guy, you know, he just kind of moves and the offense flinches, they throw the flag, and everybody's like, yeah, what did you do? I went like this. Good job! High five, smack on the butt. Men love praises, right? If we're just honest, good job, that was the best shoulder flinch I've ever seen. Women, praise your husband. Good job on the trash. He'll just lighten up. Thanks. Loves, your next blank, loves and admires him exceedingly. Love and admires him. Again, that list, the men's list I came up with, the ladies' list, it's right from the Amplified Bible. It says, Paul's point is for us to focus on what we are to do, not what your spouse is doing. Again, I say that sincerely. Don't say my spouse is failing in that list. Let's look at ourselves and say, you know what? I need to work on me. I need to work on me. I don't look at this list and say, what's up with my wife? Honestly, I don't do that. I look at this list and say, Lord, this is a big, big responsibility you've called me to as a husband, and I want to do my best to meet this list. Men and women are different, aren't we? Paul tells wives to submit, and he tells husbands to love. Here's some of my gut feelings on that. Why is it a different list? I think, for one, we're naturally inclined to do the opposite. For men, we don't have a problem giving authority. The military works that way. We don't have a problem with respect. Men can respect. For men, we have a problem showing love sometimes. We have a problem remembering the anniversary and giving the flowers. We have a problem doing that. Women, you're programmed different. You don't have a problem doing those kind of things. But I'm not a woman, but my guess is maybe you would have a problem with respect. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not a woman. But at least from the man's side, I know we're geared differently. And we don't think of the flowers and stuff. We just don't. Should we? Yes. But we don't. We need to work on that to be considerate. The other thing is, what does the other person need? Women need love, right? Women need to know that her man, even if you're married 50 years, loves her, scoops her up like a princess, and treats her with honor. That's what women need. Men, we need to be like the knight in shining armor. We need to feel like you think we're tough, that we're able to provide. That's important for a man to feel like you're able to provide for your spouse, right? We need to be the hero, because that just makes us feel good. That's kind of who we are inside. We all think we have a little S underneath of our shirts because we're all Superman. That's what men want to be. Women, that's your husband, okay? If that's what makes him feel good, help him with that. Praise him. Let him be your hero. Men, you need to treat your wife like she's the princess. She needs to be the princess. If you've been married 50 years, I'm sure your wife still wants you to take her by the hand and kiss her on the hand and treat her like a woman. In the movie Fireproof, the one guy said, your wife is like a rose. If you nurture her, she will blossom. Do you remember the line in that movie? That was a good line. It's true, right? You nurture them, they'll blossom. Women are agreeing. They're like, that's exactly right. If you nurture a woman, they will blossom. Men are like, wow, what a neat concept. Now, men, we're kind of like that. But the rose picture just doesn't work for a dude. So, can't be men are like roses. Yeah, we're not like roses. A man is like a muscle car. Okay? Women, listen to this. A man is like a muscle car. Let's say 1972 Chevelle with a 454 and blower out the hood, okay? Slicks on the back. Big muscle car, okay? Women, you can't put the cheap gas in there. You need high test, with octane boost. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, in the same way as men, boom, you need the real jet fuel to get you to where you want to go, right? Yeah, okay. Women, you need to pour into your husband things that will, you know, get his motor running, if you will, that will make him feel like he's powerful and in control. You know what I mean? And help him as a marriage. Truth is, if the wives don't work with their husbands, and the husbands don't work with your wives, you're going to have a very unsatisfying marriage. And it's not biblical. Start over today. Wives, let's be women of faith. Wives of faith. Amen? Amen. You amen to the women, man. That's okay.
They need as much help as they
can. Okay. Husbands, men. Let's be men of the faith. Can we do that? You can still like flowers. Let's be men who love the Lord, who treat their wives the way God has called us to. Amen? Let's do that. And when we do that, God is blessed and we're biblical. We have a list of stuff to work on when we get home. I want to encourage you, get the Fireproof movie. You can get the book, The Love Dare, that goes with that. There's copies in the back if you would like to grab a copy to work through that together. Spend time on your marriage, though. Spend time on your marriage. Do things to help your marriage. And guess what? God will bless you. Let's stand together as we close. I want to pray for the marriages today as we go, that the Lord will bless you. Jesus, we pray right now. I pray for the husbands and wives of our church. Lord, Satan himself wants to destroy the marriages in this church. Lord, we took some extended time today to look at your word and to receive guidance from your word and to be challenged. I pray right now that that would sink into our hearts. Lord, that you would bless the marriages of this church. God, that you would fill them with your love and joy and peace and all the gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. Lord, I pray also for men, God, that you would help us to be the real men that you've called us to be and rise up to the challenge, Lord, that we would be pictures of you and how much you love the church and how much you gave. May we do that to our wives today, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you would make us to be men who are worthy for our wives to submit to. Help us, Lord. Help us. For the women, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them. For the wives especially, that you would help them, God, to carry out their duty as well, for reverence and respect, as the Scriptures clearly teach, Lord, that we would work together as a unit, that our children would live in a blessed home, that the community would look at us and say, that's how a godly marriage works, I want one of those. Help us, Lord, to make marriages worthy of people seeking after, marriages filled with your Spirit and ordained by you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.